Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank God for the word. Hallelujah. You're welcome to another time in the word of God. This is Every Day with Jesus broadcast, where lives are being transformed and enriched by the preaching of the word of God. Let's say a word of prayer quickly. Thank you, Father, for light and clarity. Thank you for illumination. Thank you because even as we go through your word, light shines on our hearts. Thank you, Father, because we'll see as we ought to see. We'll hear as we ought to hear. And would heed and obey every instruction supplied us from the word of God, from your word. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. So this is Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church, part 14. Been on this study for a while now. Took a break, a little break, but we're back on it. So, Bible Truths Concerning the Local Church. In the last teaching, I showed us how that I deliberately walked us through the pastoral epistles, because I wanted us to connect the dots, as it were. I wanted us to see how that the instructions given to us in the general epistles, the instructions, the kind of lifestyle required of the saints in the general epistles, are to be ensured, praise God, in the settings of a local church. Amen. And I said to us that in most of those general epistles, you don't get to readily see that there was leadership in place to be responsible for the outcome of the life of the saints. Amen. So most times people read those instructions as instructions given to them for them to go and figure out. That is, you see an instruction of how you ought to live your life as a Christian, then you read that and then you struggle on your own to live that kind of life. And that's the reason why people don't take church seriously. You ask a man, why are you not attending church? He says, well, I'm just too busy. I'm too busy. Then, okay, so how have you been coping? How have you been living the Christian life? He says, well, I'm just trying my best. Amen. I'm just trying my best. It's not been easy. I'm just trying my best. Well, call me easy. Praise God. It cannot be easy because God has not called you to try your best. He has called you to be trained. Amen. Trying your best is a waste of time. We have not been told to try out something in the Christian faith, to try out things or try out, you know, how to live the Christian life. No, we have been called to train. Amen. We've been enlisted for training. Glory to God. Training. Hallelujah. Training. And unless a man is trained, he cannot live the Christian life effectively. Hallelujah. It's impossible. Glory to God. It's impossible. So most times people disconnect leadership from, you know, the lifestyle instructed in the epistles. And they see it as something that is meant to be a personal obligation. You know, people have this idea, it's a personal thing. It's personal. No. You won't readily see in the epistles how that a leader is meant to ensure this because you are not connecting the dots. Amen. As a matter of fact, you should realize that the epistle you are reading was written to a church that had leadership. Praise God. The epistle you are reading was written to a church that had leadership. The epistle to the Ephesians. The Ephesians had pastors, leaders. What about the Colossian church? Praise God. The Thessalonians. The Galatian churches. Amen. All these churches had pastors and leaders appointed and set over them. So the instructions given to saints in those letters should not be disconnected from the training that they were receiving in the local church. As a matter of fact, those instructions were going to be obeyed based on how they were being taught in those local churches. And I'm going to show you that in today's teaching. Praise God. So look at Acts of Apostles again. Acts of Apostles 14 from verse 21 to 23. Acts of Apostles 14, 21 to 23. Says, and when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. Verse 23, very key. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, in whom they had believed. Praise God. So you see how that they appointed elders in every church. I showed us in an earlier study that elder, the word elder is the word used for pastors in those days. Pastors are elders, and elders are pastors. You also have the word bishop. They all mean the same. Glory to God. Elder could also be a word used for other leaders in the church. Not just pastors, maybe an evangelist in the church. Anyone that has a leadership title in the body of Christ or a leadership office in the body of Christ could pass for an elder. That's why Peter refers to himself also as an elder. Praise God. One who is an elder, a fellow elder, and was an apostle. Praise God. So they set pastors over every church, and those pastors were responsible for the lives of the saints in their care. Praise God. And that's why we see the instruction that Paul gives to the elders when Paul summoned the elders from Ephesus. He summoned them at Acts 20. Look at the instruction again. Glory to God. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. It says, therefore, take it to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Can you see the instruction? Shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. There's no such thing as the church of God trying to be responsible for their own spiritual growth or well-being. No. There are people set over the flock. Hallelujah. And this makes sense because even in an ideal family on the face of the earth, natural, I'm talking about natural, earthly, you know, families now, you don't give birth to a child and then you tell them to go figure out how to do life by themselves. No. There's a system in place designed to ensure that they are well-groomed, they are nurtured, they are brought up, and they are prepared for life. Glory to God. And that's the same way in the body of Christ. God is not just raising children and producing children and having sons everywhere. God has a system for ensuring that men are taught, they are trained, they are brought up in the faith, and they are made effective. Hallelujah. In their work. Glory to God. It makes sense that way. Amen. So, elders were appointed in every city. Aside from this, the apostles also had influence in those churches over the pastors. Glory to God. The apostles also were mediating in the affairs and in the matters of the churches. That's the reason why Paul could mediate in the challenges and the problems of the Corinthian churches. Amen. As an apostle, they had pastors, but he was also an apostle over that assembly. Glory to God. And then Paul would write letters to them. Amen. Paul wrote a first letter, wrote a second letter. In fact, it seems as though Paul wrote three letters to the Corinthians, because in the first letter, he says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to complain with sexually immoral people. He says that in his first epistle that we know. Praise God. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 9, Paul says, I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. I wrote to you. That cannot be this letter. 1 Corinthians. He says, I wrote to you, not I'm writing to you in my epistle, because at this point in time, he was writing this one. Praise God. So there must have been a previous epistle. What's the point? He kept writing epistles to different churches at different times. Amen. Though they had pastors and elders set over them. And that's the reason why Paul also says to them, he says, though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, you have only one Father, because I've begotten you via the gospel of Christ. Amen. That's a metaphorical expression, because you don't beget people in Christ. Amen. I mean, we are born of God. But Paul was saying that based on his apostolic authority. Amen. Of planting that church. Do you get? So he had authority over them and he kept writing letters to them. So you see that the saints were under training. They were receiving instructions. They were being taught. Men were responsible for them. Hallelujah. Men were responsible for them. And that's the idea of the local church. Titus chapter 1 verse 5 also. See that elders were appointed in every city. Amen. In every city. So all the general epistles that were written to churches were written to churches that had pastors that were, you know, responsible for the flock. So the instructions are going to be the outcome of receiving training. Amen. The The lifestyle required of saints will be the outcome of yielding and submitting to training in the local church. Praise God. Titus chapter 1. Look at this carefully. We saw it earlier. Let's see it again. Titus chapter 1 and verse 5. For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. Praise God. Appoint elders in every city as I have commanded you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So there were pastors appointed over all the churches. The Colossians had pastors. The Ephesian church had pastors. The Galatians had pastors. Amen. That's why for me, I feel that one of the major problems of the Galatian churches was a failure of leadership. Amen. Has it ever occurred to you before that those churches had pastors? Amen. But Paul had to correct the doctrine of legalism that had crept into their midst. I'm sure that was a result of failure in leadership. Glory to God. Don't assume that Paul left those churches to just be. And then he now found out that they had been corrupted, and then he started writing out of panic. They appointed elders over every church. Amen. Set elders over every church in every city. Glory to God. So the false teaching that crept into the Galatian churches must have come through the leadership. Amen. And you know, that's what even makes it very, very, you know, very, very alarming and scary. Praise God. So that's just for you to think about, to see the importance of having sound spiritual leadership, leaders that can take a stand for the truth of Christ in a local assembly. So that's just food for thought. So let's go to Ephesians now. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4. I said I was going to connect some dots in the general epistles for us to let us see how that there's a connection between the leadership of the church and the instructions given to saints on how they ought to live their lives. The saints were not meant to figure out this by themselves. They were meant to yield to training, and by yielding to training, the outcome will be living in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, worthy of the faith that we profess. Praise God. So at Ephesians chapter 4, amen, from verse 17. Bible says, this I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to walk all uncleanness with greediness. Hallelujah. Verse 20, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have been taught, you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Are you aware that Paul was not teaching them this for the first time? It says, but you have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct, you have heard this. Praise God. You've been taught. When he says they have heard him and they've been taught by him, he's not talking about them meeting Jesus physically. It's about the teaching ministry. Praise God. Having received the teaching ministry, they had received Christ. They had received the ministry of Christ himself. Praise God. Having received the ministry of the word, they had heard Jesus himself and they had been taught by him. Glory to God. And they had been well informed from the same teaching on how they ought to conduct their lives, how they ought to conduct themselves in view of the new life they had received. Glory to God. So they had heard something. In fact, that's why Paul says, no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, because your own mind is not futile. You've been taught. Amen. They have their understanding darkened, not you. Glory to God. There's a change. You have been saved and you have been taught. Praise God. You have been well taught. So Paul is merely appealing to the training they had received. Paul is instructing them in view of the training they had received. Glory to God. Paul is instructing them on the manner of life that is fitting for saints based on the kind of training and teaching they had received. Amen. Isn't it amazing that this is the same chapter Paul mentions the ministry gift given to the church? Before he began to talk about the manner of life expected of the saints, he had first spoken about the fact that God has set in his body the gifts of men. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 4, from verse 1. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you be with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the faith in love, in the bond of peace. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean? But that if he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So we have ministry gifts set in the body for equipping the saints for the work of ministry and for edifying the body of Christ. Praise God. So there are men in charge, and you know, men that are responsible for the body of Christ, for the saints. Amen. Generally, the body of Christ generally now split into local churches. There are men set over assemblies of men responsible for their growth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So he says, look at this. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. So you see, they are going to grow us in the faith. They are going to mature us to a point where we are no longer children. The word children there is the word babes. Hallelujah. That will no longer be babes, undiscerning, unwise, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. Believers who believe everything, they go with everything. You see, sometimes you find such men boast in the fact that they can relate with every preacher. See, there's no preacher I cannot listen to. I get blessed by everybody. I don't judge any man. You are a babe. Amen. You are a babe in the faith. That we no longer become children, that we no longer are children, tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Amen. By the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. So you see that one of the things that will be the outcome of receiving the ministry of the ministry gifts, apostles, prophets, pastors, and evangelists, amen, who are teachers in the body of Christ, the outcome will be that the body itself will begin to make a supply. Hallelujah. Every part will begin to supply its own share. As you are being taught, you are also teaching. Praise God. As you are being raised and taught and brought to maturity, you are also supporting other saints. Glory to God. As you are receiving the ministry of the word, you are also learning to teach the same. And you are ministering to others. You are making disciples. Do you understand? So that is the outcome of the teaching ministry. And then it also now extends to, you know, the quality of life. Not just our ministry, but even our manner of living. Glory to God. Our conduct. Amen. Ministry itself is a manner of living. But then, I'm talking manner of living, conduct, character, away from just doing ministry and doing the work of ministry and preaching the gospel. How you conduct yourself in this life. Amen. How you conduct yourself in relationships. How you live in the midst of men. Your disposition to others. Glory to God. It extends to this also. It's a product of sound training and sound teaching in the faith. Glory be to God. So you must learn to always connect these dots. Look at Colossians also. Colossians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Colossians chapter 2. Glory to God. And I'll read from verse 1. For I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am with you, I am absent rather in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Hallelujah. And the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith. Hallelujah. Established where? In the faith, as you've managed and struggled to find out yourself. No. Amen. Established in the faith as you have been taught. Abounding in it with thanksgiving as you have been taught. Glory to God. As you have been taught. You are going to abound in the faith as you have been taught. Glory to God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 7, there was a minister, there was a pastor over the church at Colossae. Glory to God. There was a pastor over the church. Amen. Look at this now carefully. Colossians chapter 1. Hallelujah. And I'll start from verse 3. We give thanks to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come to you, and as it has also in all the world, and is bringing forth fruit, as it is also among you, since the day you heard and knew the grace of God in truth, as you also learned from Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, who also declared to us your love in the Spirit. Epaphras was the one teaching these guys. Hallelujah. Paul says, this word you have received is bearing forth fruit, is bringing forth fruit in your midst as you have been taught. Amen. Then he gets to chapter 2. He says, as you have received Christ Jesus, the same way. How did they receive? By learning from a minister. Continue in the same and abound in the faith as you have been taught. Praise God. As you have been taught, rooted and built up in the faith, rooted and built up, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Glory to God. So there was a pastor over the assembly. Hallelujah. There was a pastor over the assembly. Glory to God. Look at this also. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we saw this earlier. Let me read again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and from verse 12. So Paul wrote a letter to the Thessalonians. He wrote a letter to the church at Thessalonica. And then he gets to verse 12 of chapter 5 and he says, we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Recognize those who labor among you. Amen. Those who labor among you. There are men laboring among you. Glory to God. Listen to me. Most times, people feel that the reason why we are clamoring for a physical gathering of the saints and then we want people to be submissive and accountable in a local church setting is because we want to feel important. Praise God. He just wants to feel important. Like he's pastoring people, he's leading people. No, that's not it all. Amen. That's not it all. It is for your good. And it is for my good. That we are found submitted to the authority of the local church. That we are found submitted and obedient to the wisdom of God concerning the local church. It is for our good. We turn out better because we are submitting to the wisdom of God concerning the local church. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, for some of us, it is not so we can have the title or the badge of, you know, pastoring people and all that. And then when the church begins to grow numerically, we say, you know, I'm a pastor of one of the fastest growing church in the city. I'm a pastor of one of... That's not the reason why we are doing church. Praise God. It will never come to that. Amen. It is for the sake of order discipline, accountability, training, our lives getting more refined by the day. We are turning out to be better because we are in the gathering of the saints called the local church. Amen. It's about the impact the local church has upon the lives of men. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hebrews 13 and verse 17. Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. As those who must do what? Who must give account. Hallelujah. Bible says, let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that will be unprofitable for you. Obey those who have the rule over you. Hallelujah. Obey those who have the rule over you. To obey, to not argue. Amen. To not argue. To obey those who have the rule over you. And to do what? And to be submissive. Amen. The word submissive, I showed you earlier in this teaching, how that the word submissive means to surrender. It means to resist no longer. Let leadership have its free course. Amen. Sound leadership, oh. Glory to God. Let it have its free course. Submit. Surrender. Don't resist. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Truth is, leadership is so important in the local church. In fact, leadership is the most important thing in the administration of a local church. Mark my words well. The administration of the local church, leadership is the most important thing in that administration. Praise God. The leadership of a church can determine what message to preach. Imagine that. While Jesus has handed to the church the message, the gospel, the leadership of the church can decide to start preaching something else. Amen. The leadership of the church can decide to stay faithful and stay faithful and maintain integrity in preaching God's word. The leadership of the church can choose to start using the church for anything. And it's all over the place today. Amen. We can start doing politics in church. We can start watching film in church. We can, you know, the leaders can say, from tomorrow or from next week, let's just come and watch movies and see UEFA Champions League. And then at the end of the day, we'll just pray together, just have fun. You know, the leader of a local church can determine the direction we are going to move. Amen. The direction we're going to be moving towards for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years of our lives or forever. Amen. And that's the reason why we must never compromise leadership. We must ensure we don't make careless appointments in the local church. Glory to God. That's the reason why you also, listening to me, must ensure to choose a sound local church that has sound spiritual leadership. Glory to God. Because you see, the church is going to motion in the direction that the leader chooses. Glory to God. It's so important. If the leader is conscious of ministry, then the whole church will become suddenly conscious of ministry. Hallelujah. If the leader is passionate about prayer, the whole church will be a praying church. Amen. We saw that in the book of Acts. If the leader is passionate about the love walk among the saints, you see it evident in the church. If a leader is passionate about Bible study, knowing God's word, being able to explain the scriptures, then he will pass on the same energy, the same passion, the same zeal and desire to the audience, to the flock. Amen. To the church. Amen. If a pastor is passionate about soul winning, you know, ministry is beyond soul winning. Ministry is all encompassing, service. If a pastor is passionate about soul winning, you see it in the life of the saints. You see it in their commitments. Amen. Let me make a statement. Praise God. Let me make a categorical statement. A local church cannot rise beyond the passion, the interest, the desire, the commitment, and the influence of the leader. Praise God. So when you look at a church that is not doing well in an area spiritually, go and look at the pastor. Go and look at his emphasis. Go and look at his message. Check his message, his emphasis. Most times you find out that there's a deficiency first on the pulpit before you find a deficiency in the life of the saints. Glory to God. And that's why I mentioned the issue of the Galatian churches in passing. That the problem for me, the major problem of the Galatian churches was a leadership problem. I mean, they were leaders over the churches. Imagine if Paul was one of the pastors. Do you think they would have been able to infiltrate the Galatian churches with the doctrine of legalism just like that? With a Paul over the assembly? No way. Praise God. So leadership is so key. And you see, in the next episodes, we're going to start seeing how that God has always used leaders. Amen. God has always been a leader person. There will be no time in history where God will do away with leadership. He would always use leadership. Praise God. Because leadership is the way God will drive the purpose and the vision and the mission of the church. Glory to God. Unfortunately, some hijack that leadership for selfish reasons and selfish motives. Glory to God. Look at this, very instructive as I begin to close. Hallelujah. Very instructive. Are you aware that in the ministry of Jesus, all the apostles and the disciples were taught God's word by Jesus himself? He taught them. He raised them. He taught them. He explained the scriptures to them. They all got the same ministry training. Send them out to preach the gospel. Cast out devils. All of them were trained in the ministry. Luke chapter 6 verse 40. Jesus speaking, he says, a disciple is not above his teacher, but he who is perfectly trained shall be like him. So Jesus trained all the disciples. And when Jesus was ascending, we saw that there were 120 people that were waiting in the upper room for the promise of the Spirit. Yet, Jesus appointed a leader over all of them. Jesus appointed a leader over other apostles. Praise God. Jesus appointed a leader over the whole church. And you must not miss this. Listen, the lesson here is this. All of them had the same exposure. Praise God. They were taught by Jesus. As a matter of fact, at this point in time, they were all on the same level. He had opened their understanding to comprehend the scriptures. They had seen the light of the gospel. They had been well taught and informed. But Jesus appointed a leader over them. The reason why we have leaders in the body of Christ is not just because they are ahead of us in knowledge. No, that's not the reason. It is for orderliness and accountability. Because it's possible you have knowledge and you are not even living up to the knowledge or the light you have received. Leadership is what God will use to drive you and to motivate you to do all that he has called you to do. Leadership. God has always used leadership. The moment the leadership is faulty and wrong, forget it. We're going nowhere. Hallelujah. John chapter 21. Praise God. John 21 from verse 15. Bible says, so when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know I love you. And he said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Hallelujah. He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him again the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Praise God. If you are conversant with the kind of instructions that Jesus gave to the apostles after he rose from the dead, you realize that there was a general instruction given to all of them. Go into the world and preach the gospel. But Peter is the only person that Jesus gave this kind of unique instruction. To all the other apostles, the disciples, go into the world and teach the nations. Preach the gospel to every creature. But to Peter, he gives a unique assignment. Feed my lambs. Hallelujah. Tend my sheep. He wasn't talking about just the people that were going to, the folks that are going to believe on the day of Pentecost. No. Not those who are going to believe subsequently, believe in the gospel subsequently. He was talking about even the folks that Jesus was leaving at that point in time. The folks that have been taught, the disciples that were present in his ministry. Jesus was literally handing them over to Peter. Because prior to this time, Jesus was the only one teaching. He was responsible for them, for their growth. Amen. At this point in time, he was setting Peter over them. Imagine appointing a leader over leader. I told you, God has always been a leadership person. Amen. God has always been a leadership person. And thank God there was a leader in the early church. Thank God there was a leader in the early church. Thank God Jesus created that structure before he left. Glory to God. Only God knows the kind of chaos and anarchy that would have been reigning in the early church. Realize that these were the men that were already contending for who would be the greatest. Do you get? They were already nursing ambitions. They had to be a leader in place to continue that which Jesus was doing in their midst. feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my lambs. Praise God. Jesus appointed a leader over leaders. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because God always gets his will done on the face of the earth, mostly through leadership. I'm going to walk through scriptures. You're going to see this extensively from the Bible. God works mostly with leadership. Praise God. And the moment we get it wrong with leadership, everything is going to go wrong. Look at the body of Christ today. It's a failure of leadership. Hallelujah. Followership is great. Followers, you know, can make a difference. People can make a difference from the bottom and all that. But you see, that difference you want to make from the bottom, if it is not embraced by the leadership, forget it. Glory to God. I put it to you that there are folks in different churches who know the truth, who can set things right in churches, who can help the pastor rediscover the truth of the gospel. But the church is not going to ever experience that kind of light until the pastor embraces it. Praise God. There are people in local churches where, I mean, they can instruct the man of God over the assembly. They can put him through things in the Bible, show him how to preach and to teach the scriptures accurately. But nothing is going to change in that assembly until the man set over that assembly embraces that change. Leadership is so key. Praise God. What we are seeing in the body of Christ today is a failure of leadership. And anywhere you see a revival, in quotes, anywhere you see a revival and you see men coming into the knowledge of Christ, coming into light, and men are, you know, rediscovering the essence of Christianity and their focus is getting back to Christ and what he has done, check it very well again. You see leadership at the center of such move. Sound leadership. Always. There will always be leadership driving the plans and the purposes of God. Glory to God. I'm going to delve into this well in the next few teachings. I'm going to see it all through scriptures, Old Testament to New Testament. I'm going to see how that God has always used leadership to set things right. Praise God. So embrace the idea of a local church. Embrace the design and the wisdom of God concerning the local church. And begin to look out for sound and effective local churches. Because not all churches are sound and healthy. Not all churches are going to support your growth as a Christian. You're going to get into some and that will be the end of spiritual growth, end of fervency and effectiveness in the work of ministry. I've seen this over and over again. So, Jesus appointed Peter over the church. Praise God. He had apostles, he had disciples, then he set an apostle over all of them. Glory to God. And to be sure that this was exactly what Jesus did, if you read through the book of Acts, you notice that Peter was the one playing the leadership figure. Amen. It was Peter. Let's see a few places. Glory to God. It was Peter. Everybody recognized Peter as the leader. Acts of Apostles chapter 1. Praise God. Acts 1. Oh, hallelujah. When Jesus was taken up into heaven, Bible says in verse 15, and in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether the number of names was about 120. And said, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas, who became a guide to those who arrested Jesus. For he was numbered with us and obtained a part in this ministry. Now this man purchased the field with the wages of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his entrails gushed out. And it happened, and it became known to all those dwelling in Jerusalem, so that the field is called in their own language, Akeldama, that is field of blood. Akeldama, that is field of blood. Bible says, for it is written in the book of Psalms, let his dwelling place be desolate, and let no one live in it, and let another take his office. Verse 21, therefore of all these men who have accompanied us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John to that day when he was taken up from us, one of these must become a witness with us of his resurrection. So it was the one that made the decision to appoint a replacement for Judas. It was acting as a leader. Praise God. You know, nobody said, no, it's not time. Nobody argued with him. Amen. He stood up and he said, see, we have to make a replacement for Judas. And then they all agreed. They all submitted. That's leadership. Praise God. Look at Acts chapter 2. On the day of Pentecost, when they all came around to watch them speaking in tongues, guess who responded to them? Peter.
Acts 2:14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words, for these are not drunk as you suppose, since it is only the third hour of the day." And all. So Peter was the one that responded. At Acts chapter 2, verse 37, they asked the question. After listening to him and all, at Acts chapter 2, verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" Guess who responded? Peter. Verse 38, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" You know, I said to you, I can't imagine what would have been happening in the early church if Jesus did not appoint Peter as the leader. That means the moment Jesus ascended, people would just randomly stand up to be making decisions for the church. And nothing works that way. Praise God. Nothing works that way. Hallelujah. Look at Acts of Apostles, chapter 3. Peter and John went to pray. Guess who responded to the man that was lame? The man that was at the beautiful gate. Guess who responded to him? Peter. Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 3. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer and the night hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have, in the name of Jesus, I give to you. Rise up and walk.'" You see, Peter was the one. The moment Peter is around, you know, everybody just recognizes him as the leader. Glory to God. As the leader. Glory to God. When they were arrested, after they had gotten this man healed, Acts chapter 4, guess who responded to the leaders and the chief priests and the elders? Glory to God. Acts of Apostles chapter 4. Hallelujah. And from verse 7, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" Verse 8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if with this they are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, by him this man stands here before you all.'" Praise God. Peter again responded. And you see, we could go on and on and on. In fact, a very noteworthy event is at Acts chapter 10, when Jesus was going to correct their perception about the Gentiles. He was going to correct their perception about the Gentiles being unclean and they were not reaching out to the Gentiles. It was Peter that Jesus reached out to. Glory to God. It was Peter that Jesus reached out to. Glory to God. Because he was the leader. Hallelujah. He was the leader. So Jesus reached out to him first to correct that impression. And then Peter embraced that and came back to the church to talk about it. When they challenged him and all that, he came back to talk about it. Glory to God. So you see that leadership is so key. Praise God. If men who were taught and trained by Jesus had a leader set over them, appointed over them for the sake of order and discipline. Praise God. How much more you and I today? Let's embrace the wisdom of God concerning the local church. Our lives will not remain the same again. So don't forget to tune in tomorrow. Continue our study. Invite your friends, classmates, colleagues, family members. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day also of being full of the Word, full of faith, full of spiritual songs, full of prayer, full of the Holy Ghost. And don't forget to be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.